Romans chapter 12, our text today is verse 2. Out of honor for God and His Word, would you please stand with me in prayer as we ask Him to teach us this morning. Father God, it is our delight to fellowship with each other as we commune with You. We thank You that You have made Yourself known to us through Your Son, through Your revealed Word. You've made Yourself known to us so that we can know You and walk with You and serve You with delight. So that is our desire this morning, Father, that we will learn to walk with You, to meditate upon You, to allow our minds to be transformed through the truth that You have given to us, through our interaction with You, our fellowship with You. So open our hearts and our minds this morning, Father. Draw us to Yourself, conform us more into the image of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now take your Bibles and take your note sheet, and I have a warning for you this morning. Put your seat belts on. We've got some ground to cover. This is a very familiar verse, but it is chock full of very important stuff. You will find, if you were in the Sunday school time this morning, that this is a perfect parallel with what we're studying in the Sunday school. Listen, I did not plan it that way. That's a God thing. All right? But it goes together, and it's very important that we understand something this morning. In chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Very important that verse 2 follows verse 1. Why? Because if verse 1 is all there was, then we might be tempted to think that being Christ-like is just about doing the right thing. And it's not. How do you do the right thing? And these are the things that we're grappling with in the Sunday school hour. We're getting to the level of our motives and our desires. What is it that we truly worship? Because what I worship is what becomes my motive. What I desire most is what my motive is. And so it's not just about doing the right thing, but verse 2 tells us that it's about the way you think about life and what informs your thinking. That is the key question this morning. What informs your thinking? We have, if you will, a blueprint for life. And that blueprint is what your life will look like. If you were to be able to move ahead several years, couple decades, whatever. For some of us, there's more time left than others. But if you were to move ahead to the end and you were to look back and you say, this is what my life looked like. It was built upon a particular blueprint. This is the finished product. And the idea is it conformed to something. It is fashioned after a particular pattern. Now, let me share with you a fact this morning, okay? You are following a pattern. The track of your life right now is following a pattern. What pattern is it following? What is the blueprint that your life is being built with at this time? This is what the apostle is challenging us with. Now we need to understand where that blueprint is stored. It is stored in your mind, because as you're building your life, you keep going back to that blueprint, and that's what any contractor does. You go back to the blueprint and look at the specifics and say, aha, that is how we build this. You have a blueprint in your mind. You keep going back to that blueprint, and that dictates how you build your life. And your mind is the home of your intellect, your feeling, your will. In it are the images, the ideals, the beliefs of what life ought to be. You see, as a believer in Christ, your heart is new. You are a new creation. Because God says, I will give you a new heart. I will put my law on it. right? But your habits of thought. Now remember that phrase this morning, habits of thought. Because a habit of thought is an attitude. An attitude is a habit of thought. Your habits of thought and your desires need renewal and redirection. Let me say that one more time. Your habits of thought and your desires need renewal and redirection. In Christ, we have the resource for the redrawing of that blueprint. And that's what Romans 12:2 is calling us to do, to redraw the blueprint. Because an unregenerate person is living off of the blueprint that was drawn and drafted by himself. And God says, now that you are new, that blueprint needs to be redrawn. The objective is the mind of Christ, the character of Christ. We found that back in chapter 8, verse 29. It is the will of God. And that's what we're proving here this morning, the will of God. And that's what we have at the end of verse 2. So redraw the blueprint with the new resources. What are the new resources? Three of them. God's revealed truth. Which is why, as I said last week, in Romans 1 to 11, you have the mostly the indicatives. This is truth. This is God's revealed truth. This is who God is. This is who you are. This is what God is doing. And then in Romans chapter 12 and following, you have this is your life on truth. This is the picture of the life built upon the blueprint of Romans 1 through 11. So the new resources that we have for redrawing the blueprint in our minds is God's revealed truth. It is the law. It is information. It is God's information that he has made, because he is the designer of life. He knows how life ought to work. The second resource is this, where God promises in the new covenant, he says, I will put my law on their hearts. That is the new man that Paul talks about. In Ephesians, in Romans chapter 6, he talks about the new man, the new heart, the new creation in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the third resource is this, God's very spirit indwelling in you. The promise of the new covenant is, I will put my spirit in them. And he will guide you into all truth, Jesus promised his disciples. And so he then becomes the contractor, and he takes the blueprint, that new blueprint that God reveals, and he develops it as the contractor. He builds your life. This is the blueprint that needs to be redrawn. And it needs to be redrawn according to God's information, the information that God has revealed. You see, what this is the gospel of grace as a new creation. You're not just renovating something old. You are new, and you have a whole new set of blueprints for redrawing the life. Okay, now here's what I want you to do. Turn your note sheets over, because we're going to go to the illustration on the second side. And what he says in chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Being conformed to this world. The word world is aeon. It means age, a period of time. We live in this world, in this age, in this period of time. And one of the biggest problems for us is having been saved out of the unregenerate thinking of the world where I am preeminent, what we need to do is, instead of living and building our lives on that blueprint, I need to build my life on the blueprint of the information that God has given. And that blueprint exists up here. And that's what I need to be redrawing with the Spirit's help and with the information that God has given. And this world and this age and being conformed to it is being fashioned after the pattern of the world. And that follows the conventions of the day that do not acknowledge God. And I need to be aware of them and not fashion my life after that. Now, what I want to do is give an illustration, kind of a grid that we can work with here. Because you have two sides. You have the flesh. and you have the Spirit. All right, the flesh is the old. You have the Spirit, and that's the new. The Spirit is the contractor, the new contractor, and He's building the life according to the new blueprint, and we're rewriting that blueprint, and He's the one that's going to help us do it. Now, under that, under the flesh, that's my design. That's the old blueprint. Under the Spirit, that's the new blueprint. That's being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And under my design, write these verses down. There's Ephesians 2, 2 to 3, Titus 3, 3, and 1 Peter 1, 14. The word conform, that's the second time that's used in the New Testament. Exactly the same word, being conformed. All right, and then under the Spirit, which is God's design, write Romans 8, 31 to 39. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12, and then 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. Now, as God's elect, we know that we have purpose, we have power, we have protection, and we have privilege. That's what it means to be elect, because now that I am His, I have a specific purpose, and I accomplish that purpose in His power, under His protection, enjoying His privileges. Because I am His, I belong to Him. That's who I am as a new creation. I belong to Jesus Christ. Now here, under the flesh, I don't have these things. So what are these things in the life of the person that is not, or this is the blueprint of the flesh? What is the purpose of the flesh? Well, it's what we're discussing in Sunday school. It's the I, the idols, the purpose of your life. Are the idol, the deep-seated desires of your life. What is it that you want most in your life and out of your life? These are the things that you pursue. These are the things that you want, and you'll do anything to get them. But it's the blueprint that you've written. And that could include anything from pleasure, image, power, accomplishments. That's the old blueprint. So what's the new blueprint? The new blueprint is simply this. To love God. What's the greatest command in Scripture? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you love God, you will enjoy Him. If you love, the second command is what? Love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you will glorify God. That's the blueprint. And this is what we need to be moving from this over to here. Redraw the blueprint this way so that when I think in terms of purpose of my life, I'm not thinking about the things that I desire, that I think are going to define me and make me happy and satisfy me. I am moving over here to the information that God has given, and it's being revealed by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, this becomes the purpose of my life, to love God and love my neighbor. And that then, as I redraw that blueprint, that becomes the blueprint upon which I build my life. What is the power of the self blueprint? What is it? The power of the self blueprint. It's control. Every Christian, fill in the blank, every Christian is a recovering control addict. You see, if you don't believe that, you still have to come to grips with that, right? And you control addicts, you don't believe it. Yes, I don't want to believe that. Well, see, you've proven my point. Okay? The power of the self blueprint is control. It includes control. Control includes manipulation. It includes making demands. I will demand what people do for me. I will demand what people think of me. That's the power of the I blueprint. I will do what I must do so that people do for me what I want, well, so that people think of me the way I want them to think of me. What is that under the new blueprint? It's God's truth and God's Spirit. And my, this is key, my submission. The power of the new blueprint is God's truth and His Spirit and my submission to them. That is power. It's not control and manipulation and demands. It's God's truth and Spirit in my submission to it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. resist the devil and he will. Is there a more powerful force in this universe, in this world, other than God, of course, than the devil himself? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will. How do you resist the devil? By submitting yourself to God. That is the power of the new blueprint. And therefore, I need to redraw the blueprint in my life upon which I am building my life and say, this is my power now. It's no longer the demands I make. It's no longer the control and manipulation that I exert in my life so that people do for me and think of me the way I demand. What is the protection of the I blueprint? Everything that we have, our jobs, our incomes, our family, we think of them in terms of possession. They are mine. And I have a right to do with them what I want, and I will do everything I can to protect them. So we think in terms of possession. And therefore, what do we look to protect our possessions? It's probably not God, is it? Resources. We heap up resources. And oftentimes we will look to the government or to authorities to protect our things for us. Whether they are actually things or they are rights or whatever they are, we look to the government to protect us. Do you know God has a lot to say about trusting in governments instead of trusting in Him? He has a lot to say about that. That was one of His key indictments against Israel. Don't trust in man. Because government is nothing more than, he has ordained government. But government is not there to replace our trust in God. And so the blueprint then of the new blueprint under the Spirit is to trust God. Turn with me to Psalm 36, verses 7 to 9. Keep your finger in Romans. Turn with me to Psalm 36, verses 7 to 9. Your homework is to memorize this passage of Scripture. Psalm 36, 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. You give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. The protection of the new blueprint is trusting God. Say it with me. What is the protection of the new blueprint?
Trusting God.
Folks, listen. This is so key as you are redrawing the blueprint of your mind upon which you build your life. That's got to be there. Do you trust God? That's your protection. Otherwise, you will, even as a Christian, you will continue to be a person who pursues life as if you have your possessions and you have to do all that you can to protect those possessions, those rights, those relationships. And you are fashioning yourself by the pattern of the world. That's where we need to redraw the blueprint. And then the privilege. You see, the I blueprint doesn't even, listen to this, the I blueprint doesn't even think in terms of privileges. Doesn't even think in those terms. Why? Because it's mine. They're not privileges, they're what? Rights. And I will protect them, and if I can't do it, I'll have somebody else do it for me. See? They think in terms of rights. They don't even think in the category of privileges. I mean, my kids are driving, right? I got three of them behind the wheel now. Y'all pray for me. One thing that I let them know right up front, driving, and this is the government makes this clear, driving is a what? It's a privilege. It can be revoked. What about your life doesn't fit that category? Are you self-created? Did you make yourself? Did you bring yourself into this world? You see, we need to think of that. And so the privileges are the privileges of the elect. And what are the privileges of the elect? Remember Romans 8, verses 31 to 39? The privileges of the elect are pleasure and satisfaction of God. Feed on His faithfulness. And so I find the satisfaction and the pleasure of God as I feed on His faithfulness. Read Psalm 36 once again. All right, now here's what I need to do. Arch, would you put that screen down? We're going to finish this, you know, with a screen. Now I got an illustration for you here that I want you to consider. Let's put this where the rubber meets the road. Let's put it in the everyday. Now you got your seatbelts on, okay? We're having to go through this real fast. The circumstances of life. We are Christians, and yet we continue to live in the frustrating characteristics of this life. All right, so the eye blueprint here, if the person is following the eye blueprint, the desires, the control, the protection, the rights and all of that, that person might end up, and many, many do, and probably many of us in this room do, we end up with a lot of good stuff in life, right? Well, let's consider some of the things that the Lord says. He says in Mark chapter 8, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? What does that mean? That's hyperbole. He could have everything he wanted in life if he has that and yet loses his soul. What did he call the man in Luke chapter 12 who had everything he wanted and was not rich towards God? What did he call him? A fool. A failure. You have not had a successful life because he was building his life on the blueprint of the eye. He was fashioned according to the pattern of the world, which says, I am the greatest and most important reality. And so Paul is challenging the believers. He says, don't fashion your life on that pattern. Don't build your life on the blueprint of the eye. But build your life, rewrite that blueprint and build it on the blueprint of God's truth and His Spirit, your submission to it, and trust in God and enjoy His pleasures. And that's what he's saying. Now, here we are as Christians, and we still live in the frustrating characteristics of this world. And one of those, let me just mention one of them. This may affect many of us in here today, okay? Mistreatment and therefore dissatisfied at work. Now, I'm exempt from that because I know a pastor never gets mistreated, okay? So I am always absolutely satisfied at work. Thank you for believing that. Okay? A lot of us in here are working. A lot of us are face struggles at work. What's one of the reasons why you face struggles at work? One word begins with a P. People, okay? Right? We understand that, okay? All right, so here's the old blueprint, and this is the flesh. This is the blueprint according to the flesh. Paul says, don't fashion yourself according to this pattern. And so the purpose is work. Work becomes my identity. Is work your identity? That is a question that you need to answer. If it is, you need to rewrite that blueprint, okay? I'll move up a little closer here so I can see it. All right, prescription's getting old. What do I want at work? I want respect, and I want to have work without stress. Right? Is that a bad want? Here's the question. How much do you want it? These are the things that we're studying, you know, in Sunday school, all right? So that's the old blueprint. Okay, so I want, these become the idols of my heart. These are the things that I'm pursuing. I build my life upon these values. The power, then, is control and manipulation. What is that? Well, I do the kind of work that I know other people are going to be happy with, and I do everything I can to promote myself, to make myself look good, so that others will respect me the way I think I ought to be respected. Right? What is that? That's power. That's building your life on the eye blueprint. And then the protection. Well, if they're not going to treat me the way I think I ought to, then I'm going to submit grievances. And I'm going to go to the authorities. And the authorities are going to protect me and my rights. And they are going to pick up the slack in whatever I can't do. That's the eye blueprint. And the privilege, again, the I blueprint doesn't even think in categories of privilege. It thinks only in terms of rights. These are things that I deserve and therefore I demand. If we do this, and we can still be Christians and be building our lives on this blueprint, because we can still have the blueprint thinking that this life is about me and it's under my control and they're my possessions and I will protect them and I will demand them. And what does Paul say? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, don't let the world fashion you after its pattern, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? And that's the blueprint, the new blueprint, according to the Spirit and God's information. And so the purpose of the new, and this dissatisfied, you're getting mistreated at work, okay? And you're working to be satisfied at work, okay? What is your purpose in life? It is to love God. If you, listen to this, if you love God, you will enjoy Him. He wants that, you know. In other words, you don't find your identity in your work. You find your identity in God. Because He's the one that made you and He made you for Himself. And therefore, you love your neighbor and you will glorify Him. And then what becomes your power? At work, even in the frustrating characteristics of work, you are a faithful steward. Why? Because you serve Christ. Who do you serve? We still have to believe that, don't we? In your work, you serve someone. Who is it that you serve? That's a question you need to ask. That's a question you need to answer. Because even in your work, you find yourself submissive to God and His purpose and His power, His truth. And then the protection is simply trust. Feed on His faithfulness. That's good word picture, isn't it? See yourself, envision yourself feeding on His faithfulness. You have a banquet of faithfulness in front of you. And yeah, there's all these frustrating characteristics of work surrounding me, but I'm sitting here at the banquet table feeding on God's faithfulness. You want your work revolutionized? Do that. And then the privilege. It's the privileges of the elect. We overwhelmingly conquer the New American Standard Translation, and we are satisfied in Him. And if I build my life on this track, that's the new blueprint. And I am no longer conformed to the world, but I am transformed because the blueprint in my mind has been redrawn. And it radically alters my perspective and my approach to life. Now, back in your notes on the second page of your notes there, if you follow, well, let me go back here, all right? If you follow this, you will have, if this becomes the blue, if this remains, shall I say, the blueprint of your life, then you will have, to a large degree, a wasted life. If you follow this blueprint and you build your life upon this blueprint, you will not only have a transformed life, but you will have a successful life. Here's the key. Redrawing the blueprint begins with a redefinition of success, doesn't it? Absolutely. And that is beginning with the idea and the understanding that it's not about me. And so you need to ask yourself, which pattern am I following? Remember I said earlier, you are following a pattern. I guarantee you that. You are following a pattern. Which one of these are you following? Paul says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Rewrite that blueprint. And then he says, well, look at the bottom of the second half of your notes down there. What's feeding your mind? What is informing your blueprint at the very bottom? Okay? First of all, there's thoughts. On that first line down there, there are thoughts. things that are feeding and informing your mind. These thoughts, if you continue these thoughts and they develop a pattern, those thoughts turn into attitudes. Why? Because an attitude is a habit of thought. So thoughts become attitudes. Attitudes produce character. That becomes the character, the disposition of your life. You are building your life upon those blueprints. And that character will lead you to a specific destiny. And that is whether it's a destiny of a wasted life or a successful life. 1 John 2:28, the Apostle John says this, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence before him and not be ashamed at his coming." There they are. Confidence before him is a successful life. Ashamed at his coming is a wasted life. Because even though I may have been new, I didn't tap into that. I did not build my life upon that. I remained conformed to the pattern of the world, and I wasted my life pursuing the things that don't matter 100 years from now. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, turn your sheets over. Go back to the first page. And let's bring it all to a conclusion here very quickly, okay? Because what he says at the end of Romans 12:2 there, and prove what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. And that word prove means to recognize as genuine after examination. And God invites us to do this. Do you believe the will of God to be the source of pleasure and satisfaction? Or if you're building your life upon the blueprint of the world and of the flesh, doing the will of God will seem like a drudgery to you. Say, oh, I've got to do it. I don't really want to, but I've got to do it. Do you realize that God is a good God and he wants the best for you? And he is your highest good and your ultimate satisfaction. And so, by building your life on the blueprint of the Spirit, transforming your mind by transformation, by the renewing of your mind, then you will prove and recognize God's will as genuine after examining it. Three things: that it's good. God's will you will find by building your life on the blueprint of the Spirit. Redrawing that blueprint, you will find that God's will is good, meaning it is beneficial to you. You find pleasure in it. You get good from it. Not only do you get good from it, but your world gets good from it. It is beneficial. It is good. Secondly, it is acceptable to God, meaning it is in line with his character and his purpose. This will is what brings him glory. And what brings him glory is what reconciles other people to himself. And then thirdly, it is perfect. What does that word perfect mean? It means complete success. It means that you have lived up to your design. It means not because you are in the army, but that you actually can be all that you were meant to be in Christ, if indeed you are building your life upon the blueprint of his information and his Spirit and your submission to it. And so the pattern of life then is at the very bottom under the Christian attitude. And what is an attitude? It is a habit of thought. And through our thoughts in our minds, we are transformed, because the Bible says, as he thinks, what? So is he. You act the way you think. Your thoughts produce attitudes. Your attitudes produce character. Your character produces destiny, whether it's a successful life or a wasted life. Which pattern are you building on? Now, here it is, the Christian attitude, starting down at the bottom. Do this through all the routines, the duties, the pleasures, the circumstances of life. Do this. Develop this attitude. Number one, down at the bottom, he made me for himself. What is that? That's purpose. He made me for himself. You develop that, that becomes the attitude of he loves me. You see, this is why we need the information of Romans 1 through 11. We need that information. And Romans 12 and following is that life built upon that information of Romans 1 to 11. First, He made me for Himself. That's purpose. Two, He loves me. That's motive. Three, He is my highest good. Or you could substitute the word good, you could put in satisfaction. He is my highest satisfaction. What is that? That's objective. And the last statement, His design takes me there. His design takes me there. His design is His principles and His precepts. And if that is how I am building my life, if indeed I have been transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I have replaced the old I blueprint and have replaced it with the blueprint of God's information, His revelation, His Spirit, and my submission to it, and I have built my life upon that, then I will be able to say that I will be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. You see, that's His objective. And that's what He revealed to us in Romans 8, isn't it? John says the very same thing. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What is that? That is a successful life. Which pattern, which blueprint are you building up your life upon right now? You are using a pattern. Ask yourself that question and answer it with brutal honesty. Because Paul challenges us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And it is our desire to have the mind of Christ.